For the rest of us, would you turn with me to Hebrews 11? Hebrews chapter 11. Our text is verse 23 through 27 of Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk to you today about family faith, being Father's Day, and the importance of a father that lives out his faith before his family, before its children. Hebrews 11, 23 through 27. Beginning to read. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that this morning you would unfold your word to us. Lord, open our hearts, open the understanding of our minds. Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I deliver this message. And I pray, Lord, that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. The most powerful and influential people on earth are parents that live out their faith on a minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, steadfastness. Our children and our grandchildren are paying attention to us. And let me tell you a little clue. They see and recognize phony at the drop of a hat. I remember being a young man, and the church I grew up in, and I've shared this before, that, you know, I saw things. I perceived things. And it was a big, big part of the reason that when I turned 16 and my folks gave me a choice at that point, I bailed out of the church because I had been turned off by phony people. Even people, the ones that turned me off the most. Listen, I know, I even understood then, people are people. But what I'm talking about is I saw people in leadership at the point. Okay? And it turned me off. And so I left the church when I was 16 and I didn't look back. I'm not saying I did the right thing, please understand. Young people, I didn't do the right thing. But it was what happened with me. I was 25 years old before I came back to the church because I hit rock bottom. I was led to Christ, and I was at rock bottom, and I came to Jesus, and I met the real Jesus. And I realized at that point what was important was my relationship with him. And it was not what I should be doing at that point, looking at everyone else and the way they live for an excuse for me to not live according to God's statutes. Am I making sense? So, fathers, we have a very, very important role, not only in our families, but in all of the earth. We have a big role to be real, to be godly men, to live out an example for our children. that they would be able to follow. The faith that we profess had better be the faith that we display. Because when our confession is not backed up by a life that doles out that confession, then we have problems. We end up with children that say, "Bogus. I don't need any of that. That's phony." So, faith is the vital ingredient in a family if they are to be successful by God's standards. Listen, we are living in a day where it probably has never been harder to be parents in this country and around the world. Probably never been harder. Along with that, it has probably never been a harder time in this country to pastor. When the family unit gets attacked and people leave the foundation of God's word, then it also becomes harder to pastor people because it affects the whole culture. It blows my mind how much our culture has changed in the 24 years that I have been pastoring. It absolutely blows my mind. It is so radically different now than it was 24 years ago when I transitioned into the ministry. It's just, I sit sometimes and I think about it, and I can't even get my mind around it, how much our culture has changed and is changing. 24 years ago, when I gave myself to the Lord and committed to full-time ministry, when I gave Him myself in that way, committed to Him to move into full-time ministry. There's so much that's changed. Back then, a woman knew what a woman was. Amen. And they could tell you. And a man could tell you what a man was. Okay? That's all changed. Now you got people that tell you, "Well," and I'm like, "No, not well. I know what a man is, and I'm a man." Listen, you can cut parts off a man just like neutering a dog, but that male dog is still a male after they've been neutered.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how to make that any more clear. It is what it is. And it's really not confusing unless you take God out of the equation. God created Adam and Eve and every one of us, every human being since Adam and Eve. He created all of it. And He has not made a mistake. Not one. And the LGBTQ plus blah 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 community is confused about that and says, "Well, my life's a mistake. I've always felt this way, or I've always felt that way." Well, then you better get some counsel and get some prayer, because the enemy has duped you. Because God has never made a mistake, and He never will. Am I making sense? So a man needs to be a man. Okay? And then the other problem we have is this. When men do not fulfill the God-given role in the home, it is a well-known fact, this is not researched necessarily by the Christian community, but the community as a whole, homes where things are out of God's order and women are running the home produce a huge percentage of the gay lesbian community. Look it up. I'm telling you the truth. So it is quite a bit the product of the home being out of order when the man is not fulfilling his role in the home, when the father is not fulfilling his role in the home, And the wife, if you will, is not allowing him to lead, or he won't step up and lead. There's a big problem with that. I don't have the time to address all of it, but there has been a horrible feminizing of the male species in this land. Limp-wristed, weak men that don't stand up and be the men that God has called them to be. I don't know how to say that any more clear either. It's a very real problem in our culture. So, why am I telling you all this? Because I want us to get back to the biblical foundation of what God created a man to be. He created us to be men. No apology for that. God created men to be warriors. Where is that warrior spirit? Moses' parents, namely Amram and Jochebed, were faithful in protecting Moses to the extent of disobeying the king's edict. My friends, we are living in a day where our government is telling us how we need to raise our kids, or they're threatening to take them away.
Yeah.
Wrong answer.
That's right.
When that reaches that point, my friends, that is tyranny, and that's when it's time for men to be men and stand up. It's time to go to war. Do you understand what I'm saying? First of all, war in the spirit. But if it comes down to it, our Constitution gives us the right to band together and go to war against our government. Do you understand that? It's why our framers put those things in there. It is why the Second Amendment is there. Trying to make people believe that's not real. I refuse to call him our president, because he's not. There's other people running the country. I refuse to even say his name. But him making the statement that he did about people not needing guns to go hunt anymore. That's one reason we have guns. But the main reason it's in the Constitution, the main reason it's there, is for us to be able to fight and overcome a tyrannical government.
Yeah.
That's why it's there. Do your homework, guys. But it requires men being who God has created them to be. And by the way, I hope that never comes to that. The Civil War was horrible. But thank God it happened. Right? All right. That was my introduction. First major point I want to look at is what they saw. By faith, Amram and Jochebed saw that God had a plan for Moses. They were willing to disobey the king. Are you willing to disobey our government and say no and raise your children the way God has called you to raise them? Because we're living in a day where that's a big issue. They are literally saying they're coming for your kids. If you won't let them, I'm talking about underage kids, will not let them transition. Now, I'm saying this, and I'm not swearing, because I mean it. Hell no.
Amen.
Not having it. It would be wise for them not to come for my grandchildren. Psalm 112, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 112, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes." That'll preach! We are to have no fear when we are walking according to God's statutes. When we are walking in the power of God's leadership, He will lead us. He will watch over us. He will protect us. So guys, it's time we come up into the ranks. Please understand, I'm not putting anybody down on purpose or anything here. But this is a call that needs to be made to every man in this nation to stand up and be a godly man. Be who God has called us to be. And that is how we will get our nation back. Because our God will fight. Amen?
Amen.
Mark 9, verses 20 through 24. Mark 9, Gospel of Mark 9, verses 20 through 24. Says, "So they brought him. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, 'How long has he been like this?' 'From childhood,' he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." We should all echo those last words, guys. "Lord, I believe. But help me in those times where my belief does fail me sometimes." Let's be honest. Raise your hand if yours fails you sometimes. Yeah. I believe God. I take God at His word. I have been for 40 years. That's a fact. Anybody who has known me for those 40 years knows that I have been walking by faith for 40 years. But sometimes it fails us. When we have too many things that pile up on us at one time, sometimes it kind of erodes our faith and we start faltering, and then all of a sudden we realize, "Oh, yeah, I got to get back on track here." Maybe it takes a message from the pulpit. Maybe it takes something else. Maybe it takes God whispering to you in the night when your head's on your pillow. But whatever, God will reach out to us in those times. And then when He does, our response should be, "I do believe, Lord. I believe. I believe you. But help me in those times that I'm in unbelief. Help me in times when my faith is faltering." Proverbs 22, verse 6. We are all, if you've been a Christian for quite a while, you all know this verse. "Train a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." That has been preached umpteen different ways from umpteen different angles. We've preached it that training up a child in the way that they should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It's likened to taking an arrow and shooting an arrow when you release that child, when you've trained them up in the way they should go. That analogy has been out there. There's the analogy of, listen, don't get discouraged, parents, because you're working on training them up in the way they should go, and maybe for a little while they're not going to look like they're walking it, but hey, look what it comes back to. When they're old, they won't depart from it. So it's been preached that way. It's been preached all kinds of ways. But the bottom line is, in my mind, what is the most important out of all of that is the challenge to train up a child in the way that they should go and trust God to take care of it from there. Second major point, what they were not afraid of. Exodus 1, 22. Exodus 1, verse 22. It says, then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. What would you do if that order came down from the high places in this country? You'd be weaving a basket?
Yeah.
We do live by the Mississippi and we got all kinds of backwaters. Seriously though, what would you do? You know, you really don't know until you're in that situation. Are we deep enough in our faith to, by faith in Christ, obey God and disobey the leadership, the king, if you will? Would we? Would we stand against that? Well, let me ask you this. When it becomes illegal to be a Christian in this country, will there be enough evidence to convict you? Will there be enough evidence to convict you as a father? It appears the plan, long-range plan, is to take our children from us. I don't know if you guys realize that, but the long-range plan is for our government to take our children away from us. It's why the public school systems as a whole are moving toward parents not having any say. Parents being arrested, declared terrorists, for being concerned about what's going on in the school system and going to a board meeting, they've been called terrorists. My friends, if that doesn't make this hair right back here raise up on your neck, then you and me aren't at all the same kind of people. Right? We can't allow that to happen. But it takes more than 45 people out of a community the size of Fulton voting to put godly people on our school board. People get out and vote for the major elections, but blow off the lower level elections, and that's why our children are being stolen away. See, I'm trying to convict some people. I'm trying to light a fire. I'm trying to jack you up. See, I want a bunch of men that will lock arms with me and we stand for the fight. First of all, in prayer. All right? First of all, in prayer. Violence is a last resort. But we need men that are willing to go there if they need to. Am I making sense? See, most people don't want to talk this way. But we have reached the place where if somebody don't start calling a spade, we will not be the United States of America anymore. I already don't recognize this nation from what it was when I was born. I don't even recognize it. Take. And just in case you didn't realize it, I've been a few places in the world, in some third world countries, and there's not another United States of America. If they manage to tear this one down, there's not another one. And they're trying to turn this one into a third world country because they want a one world government. And someday that's going to happen. If you read your Bible, someday that's going to happen. But the devil is out ahead of God's plan. And the people that are controlled by Satan are out ahead of God's plan. It's not time for that yet. And I'm not just saying that because I'm alive, standing here. I truly believe in my heart of hearts, it's not time yet. The enemy has tried to push it through ahead of time. But God. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 12 makes it abundantly clear that it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We need to remember who our battle is with, but understand, Satan, to demonize or demon-possess a person has to have a willing person. Okay? So, yes, the battle is with what's in a person, demonically, more than it is the person. But you understand the person is willing. So, there's a problem there. All right? So our war is not with flesh and blood, it's against the rulers, against the authorities, the powers of this dark world. That's why everything we do in this battle has got to be bathed in prayer. We have got to get together on prayer. Second Timothy 3:1 says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Hello? Yeah, we're seeing that, aren't we? We're living in perilous times. We have seen liberalism come into the church. Humanism in schools. Hedonism in our society. If you don't know what hedonism is, it's the theory that a person always acts in such a way as to seek pleasure and avoid pain. That's what hedonism is. That describes our culture. Everybody wants the short-term fix. They want to feel good. They won't take the hard road. They're going to always choose the easy road. Well, I've been walking with Christ now for 40 years, and I'm telling you, walking with Christ is not always the easy road. As a matter of fact, most of the time in my life, it has been the hard road, but that being said, it has always been worth it. Are you willing, guys, to go the hard road? To protect your family and to lead your family down the path to eternal salvation. Proverbs 21 verse 11 says, "When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. When a wise man is instructed, he gets knowledge." When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. Listen, there's a bunch of mockers, and they need punished. Because maybe then they'll gain some wisdom. You understand? Falls along the same line. God disciplines those he loves. And then says, fathers disciplines his children because he loves them. That's not talking about abuse. That is talking about discipline. There is a major difference between abuse and discipline. Paddling a butt and turning it red when needed, when need be, is not abuse. That's discipline. It's okay if they don't sit down for a few hours. I lived that. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Guys, we need to remember this scripture. We can do all things through him who gives us strength. We can do this thing as long as we are rooted and grounded in Christ and have our eyes on him as the author and perfecter of our faith. We can do this. You can do this. You can be a godly father. You can do this. You can stand up for your family, on behalf of your family. You can do this. And ladies, please, when a man gets full of the Holy Ghost and stands up and is ready for the battle, don't take the wind out of their sails. Let them lead. Next major point is we want to look at faith in action. Faith in action. James 2, 17 through 18. Says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Bottom line, if we profess faith, we should be acting on that. We should be acting on what we profess we believe. Whatever it is. And again, operating in that faith many times is going to mean taking the hard road in the short term because it leads to God. In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. Whether you like it or not, when as we walk in this Christian faith, as we walk this out, we are literally like salmon making their last swim upstream. They're swimming upstream. Okay? And all the perils that go along with that. The bears on each side of the stream. You've seen it. Satan's like the bears. You realize he's seeking whom he may devour. Right? That's what the Word tells us. So we're making that last swim. That's why it's hard, guys. We're not swimming with the current. We are going against the current of our culture. We're swimming upstream. The culture is going the other way. And yes, it's easier in the short term to just go along with the culture. Unfortunately, a whole bunch of denominations and churches have decided to go along with the culture and to go along with the stream, with the current. There are very few churches anymore, or preachers, that are still preaching messages that encourage people to swim against the current. So let me say it. Swim against the current. Oppose the culture and serve God. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from them. Woo! Isn't it amazing how quickly a child gets naughty? I'm serious. There's a reason they call it the terrible twos. For a lot of children, somewhere around the time of their second birthday, the sweet little thing that you were cooing turns into a monster. And you love them, but you don't like them anymore. Isn't it true? Oh, you still like them most of the time. But when they're in that mode where they're being little monsters, it's like, boy, I don't know. Hebrews 13, verse 4. We're getting there, guys. We're getting there. We're going to make it. Hebrews 13, 4 says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Any questions? That covers a whole lot of stuff. I could spend the next hour preaching that verse because our culture is so screwed up right now. But I won't. Marriage being honored by all means addressing marriage according to the way God designed marriage. That's what that's talking about. There is no honor in marriage that is not ordained by God. There's no honor in that. Quite the opposite. God judges the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Psalm 127, verse 3. Says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Our children are a reward, even when they're in their twos. And once you get through the twos, then fast forward to about 12 or 13 years old. Woo! Can I get some help from a couple of people? It's an experience, to say the least. Leviticus 18, verse 22. Leviticus 18, verse 22 says, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. I'm going to say it so you heard it here. I am intolerant. And I won't apologize for it because God is intolerant and has called us to be intolerant.
Yes.
So no apologies. And if any of you that are here, even visitors, if you're here and you want, I wonder if he's tolerant. No. No. Not today, not tomorrow, not anytime. I am intolerant of what God calls sin. Fourth, faith's victory. See, we have a hard course living out the Christian life. It's a hard course. Thank God he has empowered us by the power of his Holy Spirit. See, he hasn't left us like a bunch of vagabonds here. He said, I'll be back. Arnold Schwarzenegger did not coin that phrase. Jesus did. I'll be back. And he didn't leave us here like a bunch of vagabonds. He said, if I go to the Father, then he's going to send you the promise, the Holy Spirit. And thank God we have the Holy Spirit. If we're a born-again believer, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us to empower us to fulfill what the Word of God requires as we live in this crazy world right now. Moses refused the wealth and position of Egypt to follow the Lord. Why did Moses refuse Egypt? Because it was more important to him to help his people and serve God in the process of that. I need you to understand something. Believers make a lot of sacrifices. Pastors make sacrifices. I know Pastor Jim being completed. I responded to the call of God on my life into full-time ministry 24 years ago because I want God first in my life and I want to obey him. So it's a calling, not a job. But I could have made a lot more money in business, staying in business. You see, when God called me out of my business and into the ministry, I had just gotten in the driver's seat. I was debt-free. My business was all paid for, and I was in the driver's seat and was going to be able to make some real money. And God said, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Close it down, walk away from it, trust me. I want you to preach my word. And then he called me to plant a church in my hometown. Lord, did you forget they killed you in your hometown? These people remember me. That's real, guys. I'm telling you, that's real. It seems that he esteemed the riches of God greater than the treasures of Egypt. We need to adopt that philosophy. The riches in Christ are far more worth, have far more worth than what this world has to offer. Now, I said what I said because that's real about me being able to make more money being in business, because I couldn't. But I didn't say that because I'm regretting the decision I made. I am so glad I made the decision I did, and I would make the same decision again. Does that make sense? Because it's a calling, it's not a job. He was intolerant. Moses was intolerant. He discriminated between right and wrong. So see, I'm in good company. See, we are also called to discriminate. Boy, that's not a popular phrase today. I'll probably get blowback from that on the internet. We post these messages on the internet, you understand? I don't care if I get blowback. And thirdly, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter any longer. You know what that says to me? He decided he needed to be what he was born to be. He had to be who God made him to be. He could no longer. God used Pharaoh's daughter to raise him up and protect him because God had a plan for his life. And when he was an adult, he went back to his roots. He got a little too zealous. That whole killing the Egyptian and burying him in the sand, that was a little intense. But his heart was in the right place, you understand what I'm saying? Because God was welling up within him that desire to be a vessel of deliverance for his people. Men of God, be challenged today. Let's rise up in the power of God's Spirit and be who God has called us to be. Be men of God. Lead your families with the love of Christ, with the steadfastness of His Spirit. Live an example that is worthy of following. Live an example when it becomes illegal to be a Christian that there's enough evidence to convict you. Well, I think I'm going to quit right there. Are you challenged? Well, Father, I just pray your blessing on every single one of us. I pray your blessing on the word that I brought, that you put on my heart, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that we are convicted and that we do something about it. We pray, Lord, as we leave this place, that we wouldn't walk away from this message and say, well, I heard that, but Lord, that it will become part of us and that we will be men of God and that we will be people of God. That, Lord, everywhere we step, everywhere we put our foot, that the power of your Spirit would literally permeate through us, Lord God. We just pray now that as we go forth, that, Lord, your power abounds. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless everybody.